Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen, and not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Happy holidays and welcome. This is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 1999 classic South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. This is a gift to Brother Jay. After weeks and weeks and weeks of movies that Brother Jay has simply tolerated, finally, one of his most favorite movies ever. Take it away, Brother Jay. Introduce us to South Park, the movie.
Also, there were a couple that he did not tolerate.
We've already established I have almost no tolerance. Unless you're talking about alcohol, then I have a good deal of tolerance. South Park was originally the South Park TV series was something that I watched quite a lot of when it first came out, at a point in time where I would actually watch Comedy Central a lot. Kind of destination viewing. I would actually record episodes with my VCR and be able to watch them later because my job would often start very early in the morning. So I grew quite an affection for South Park. And then when the movie came out, I actually didn't see the movie in the theater. I was very, very, very busy at that point because the company was ramping up for Y2K. So I was working 6 day weeks, sometimes 12 and 16 hour days. So I didn't get any free leisure time. Eventually, after Y2K, sometime in February, I believe I rented this movie. Maybe it was later, but I rented the movie and watched it at home. And I think I actually hurt myself laughing. It was so awesome. And then one of my brothers, I believe it was Brother E, sent me the soundtrack. But I listened to that and must have listened to that over and over and over again in the car. So I had grown quite fond of the movie and the music. Obviously, I have some tracks that are more of my favorites than others. But I think the joy of this is that you can enjoy the movie or you can enjoy the music, and you can enjoy them together or separately. And one does not detract from the other. One being apart from the other doesn't necessarily make it any less, but together it makes a pretty awesome 86 minute movie. It is an amazingly complex, filthy, dirty cartoon.
Brother Drew, what's your history of South Park? Specifically, the movie.
I was a fan of the television show, so I was very much looking forward to the movie. I saw it in the theater with my then girlfriend, future wife, and it was brilliant. I loved everything about the movie. I loved the music. I love their indulgence with the R rating. They really went after it, which is great. I love sort of the whole meta commentary that they structured the movie around. And we can talk about that later, but it's just so their approach to making a movie based on the television show was so smart that they cut the knees off of all of the critics before they could do anything. And it was fantastic. But yeah, and it was just fun. It is a fun movie. There are so many jokes layered and layered and layered. And I had forgotten how much I still reference this movie, like without even thinking about it. There were a couple of things that are my go-to phrases and sounds that trace right back to this movie. So I hadn't seen this movie in a few years, and it was very fun to watch it again. It holds up really well.
Hey, buddy.
I saw this movie at first, I think, with listener Sandy and maybe a bunch of work people, because I know that it was a thing at work. And then I drug our parents in a very uncharacteristic thing, because they were not now they actually go to more movies than I do. But at the time, they didn't go to a lot of movies. And bringing my mom and dad to a cartoon when I was an adult, just the three of us, I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like kind of a bold move, but it was like, oh, no, you guys have to see this movie. This is the best movie ever.
I think I remarked that I'm in awe that you managed to get them both to go to a movie.
Oh, me too.
With especially an animated movie that they had no point of reference for.
Well, they may have had some point of reference, but they certainly...
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they know.
But I do remember, and I've shared this before, but this is a good place to remember it again, that after the movie, Dad and I headed for the bathroom, and he mentioned, he's like, just shook his head. He's like, those guys, they're geniuses. I was like, yes, you get it. Because mm-hmm. It was, at the time, and just this last week when I watched it again, it is... absolutely brilliant. And I love it. Okay, so I'm going to... this is my version of the Trey Parker, Matt Stone story. I don't know how true it is, but they went to college together. They lived, grew up in the same town in Littleton, Colorado. Did not go to Columbine, but went to the other high school. And then kind of met each other more formally, I think, in college. And worked on a bunch of stuff, including... a little short they did, I think, Frosty versus Satan or something. I can't remember exactly what that first short was. And then they did what ended up being sold as Cannibal the Musical. And so they wrote and starred in Cannibal the Musical, and the idea was they were going to take that to Sundance, which they did, or they sent it to Sundance, and Sundance never responded. So they instead went to Aspen or whatever Sundance is held, and... rented their own meeting room at a hotel and had their own screening and caught the eye of some executive that hired them. I think it was actually like Troma Films or something ended up buying Cannibal the Musical, but and renaming it, because I think it was called the Alfred Packard Story or something. And then one of the other guys said, hey, can you make me a little tape I can send out for Christmas? And that's where they came up with that whole Santa versus Jesus short. And they made it like using cardboard and stop motion. And it's not very long. I think it's like 7 minutes long or something. And they sent it to the producer guy on video cassette. And he ended up, somebody along that chain digitized it, and it became one of the first viral videos ever. So that ended up being shopped around as to like a bigger series. And Fox turned it down because they said it was just too gross, especially because it included, I think that first short had Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo. But Comedy Central said, hey, yeah, let's, you know, we'll do it. And they gave these guys complete creative control, which I think they still have, of all the South Park material. So they can do whatever they wanted. But the reason why I say this is my version of their story is because this movie to me is a great example of they got the opportunity after making a couple seasons of the show to make this movie. Part of the deal was they had to come up with a movie. And they thought, well... this is a great opportunity. It's going to be a shit ton of work, but it's a great opportunity. And it might be the only opportunity we ever have because our fame with South Park is probably like will be counted in minutes. So they left nothing out. They just would just say, we're going to make a full on musical. And they did. I mean, they wrote, like, you can definitely see, especially toward the end, the influence that Les Mis had on this. Have mm-hmm. you guys have all seen Les Mis?
No.
No. Oh.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. The second whole section of Les Mis is very much the last whole act of this movie, musically.
So is it ripped off or is it homage?
Oh, no, it's homage. Yeah, it's beautiful because by the time you get to it, you're kind of sucked into it. It starts out as with a song, but it kind of goes right into like what you would expect from a South Park episode. And then it just keeps building and building and building. And by the end, you have a full-on musical with themes and interwoven story themes and how it all comes to a big head at the end. It's just great. And it's all about censorship, so it is the dirtiest thing. Even in 2017, I was shocked how dirty it was. Not just the language, but the whole thing is so, so dirty.
Come on, guy.
I had to go back and confirm that Saddam Hussein did not die.
No.
For many, no. Many years.
Exactly.
Yeah, not till much later.
And I think the only one who doesn't swear in this movie is Satan. And also, when Comedy Central, by the way, South Park put Comedy Central on the map. Just the way, like, basically The Simpsons or maybe In Living Color put Fox on the map.
Married with Children.
Maybe Married with Children. And then X-Files, I guess, put Fox on the map. But
and The Simpsons.
Yeah, South Park and The Daily Show made Comedy Central a force to be reckoned with. And they sold the idea of South Park as this is what the V-chip was created for. You know, this movie references something we don't even think about anymore. But at 1999, mm-hmm. this is when TVs had to have, by legislation, they had to have this the ability to filter content based on rating called the V-chip, which is amazing and great. And I mean, at the time, you know, censorship, whatever. But also the whole MPAA thing. If you've seen the documentary, This Film Is Not Yet Rated, these guys play a big part in that movie. Not just mm-hmm. this movie, but especially Team America, World Police.
Yes.
they just made it their mission, you know. We're gonna see how far we can get, and we're going to stack the deck in our favor. In something that I'm sure people have done forever, to put an extra gratuitous scene so that you can cut out those scenes and keep the ones you really want.
Well, there's the story from Fight Club about how they made it so filthy as they could. They tried to write as much filthy stuff in to make it so offensive because they knew it wouldn't get in, but they figured if they wrote the most offensive thing they could think of, then the studio would think that what they really wanted in was reasonable. And so they'd be like, well, we don't want this joke because it is just reprehensible, but we'll let you have the other joke. It's much more palatable in comparison.
Yeah.
So I think some of that appears here or may have appeared here. Have either of you seen Orgasmo?
I have, yes.
Yes.
I think it was one of their less successful movies, but still.
It's still hilarious.
I can totally see a straight line from this to
DVD-A.
I can totally see a straight line from this to the Book of Mormon. And the Book of Mormon is also dirty, but it's also a legitimate thing. I mean, it's a real piece of musical theater. This is a real piece of musical theater.
You know, DVDA is the name of their band, right?
Is the Primus guy, what is his name? I think
I couldn't tell you.
He's one of their buddies too, I think.
Of course, because he's the theme song for South Park.
And they did some Primus videos and stuff too, so. But yeah, I mean, these guys are, I don't know. Les Claypool, yeah. So yeah, these guys are amazing. And just the fact that they've had this amount of control over that, I mean, I think it probably surprises them.
Yeah, I mean, they're on what, season 20? 20 plus?
Well, and also, then you have to also look at the Book of Mormon, which is another absolute just goddamn genius.
Was that your ice maker?
No, that was my children.
Okay. No, I know. And this, and that's the thing, is it's genius, and it's still, did it timeless. Win Tony Awards?
Which one? The Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Blame Canada. One of the songs in this movie was up for an Oscar. Like, real singers had to talk about squinty little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Robin Williams. Oh my God, they killed Kenny! Times have changed, our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents, they just wanna fart and curse. Should we blame the government, or blame society? Or should we blame the images on TV? Now, blame Canada! Blame Canada! It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. To form a full assault. Don't blame yourself for your son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the Klan. And my boy Eric once had my picture on his shelf, but now when he sees me he tells me to blame myself. Blame Canada, blame Canada. Because when Canada is gone, there'll be no North to lead the earth. Blame Canada. They're not even a real country anyway.
What would Brian Boitano do? Was that first in this movie or was that in the TV show?
It was actually before that. I think it was in the original short.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's a funny piece of trivia. They didn't have to ask Brian Boitano's permission because he's a public figure, so they're in their satire. But later, Brian Boitano actually sold shirts with "What would Brian Boitano do?" for charity, and he had to get their permission to use that phrase. So, have fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And of course, they gave.
Sorry, Jason. I cut you off. What were you gonna say?
So, Book of Mormon, the Tony Award for Best Musical, Tony Award for Best Book of a Musical, Tony Award for Best Original Score.
The best thing about the Book of Mormon is it came out before Hamilton. Because yeah. Otherwise it would have been that comedy act that opened for the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. Or that followed the Beatles or whatever. Still, again, almost, 18 years later? Incredible. This is an incredible movie.
I've seen it probably at least a dozen times, and it's still just as fucking funny every time I watch it.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming, and I still laugh at it. It's so absurd. And yet, I still find myself discovering little things that I hadn't noticed.
Well, you know, and this came about the same time, I want to say, as their Christmas album, which is also one of my favorite things, I think maybe ever, just of things, is Mr. Mackey singing the chorus of Bells.
Hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, ding dong and clay, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer, to young and old, meek and a bold, ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling, one seems to hear, words of good cheer, from everywhere, filling the air, oh how they pound, raising their sound, oh here and there, telling their tale, gaily they ring, while people sing, songs of good cheer, Christmas is here, ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, merry, joyful ring, all caroling, come on they sing, down without end, their joyful tone, to every home, dark hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, ding dong and clang, on they sing, on without end, their joyful tone, to every home, ding dong, ding dong.
It's so fucking funny.
See, I like the Kenny song.
Which Kenny song?
About the Virgin Mary.
Howdy ho! The Virgin Mary was sleeping when Angel Gabriel appeared. He said, "You are to be the Virgin Mother," and Mary thought that was weird. Said to Mary, "My child, have no fear."
God, yes, that's so objectionable. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the songs in this movie are so much fun. I mean, the whole thing is over the top and it's all satire and stuff, but it's just, let's see. I mean, Uncle Fucker, we already talked about, we've had, what, 2 weeks of talking about Uncle Fucker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to express how really, if you listen to the last week's show, you heard it, or a week before last. And it is.
Plus, I'd forgotten that there was a remix version of it in the movie.
Yes. Yes. Like the German techno version or whatever.
Shut the fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a bunny, body bastard, Uncle Fucker. I told you that we won't stop. I told you that we won't stop.
The German Scheisse version.
Oh my god, yeah, I forgot about German Scheisse films.
Man.
Okay, so I haven't seen South Park in maybe 10 years or more.
Same here.
Yeah, I maybe haven't even seen it. Like, I was already kind of checked out by the Butters years.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I don't even know who the character... I assume there's still Kyle and Stan and Cartman and Kenny, although Kenny doesn't even die anymore every episode, right?
No idea.
Couldn't tell you.
Of course, I haven't watched The Simpsons in probably 20 years.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Okay, Mountain Town is the opening song. It's fun, sets the stage.
I never noticed that Stan was playing with yellow snow.
Oh, you just all yeah. This like that's the thing about this sort of like stop motion esque animation, because now, you know, by the time of the movie it was all mostly computerized, but still you can spend a lot of time making little tiny jokes that you don't only see later. But you've got Mountain Town and Uncle Fucker, and then you have It's Easy MK, which is really, really catchy. You've got Blame Canada, which is a central theme. And more political, less fun, more political. But then you have the movie, the song that just sprung into my head for like an entire week that brought up this whole conversation, which is Kyle's Mom's a Bitch, which I love.
I'm getting pretty sick of him calling my mom. Well, Kyle's Mom's a bitch, she's a big fat bitch, she's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a stupid bitch, and there was a bitch, she's a bitch to all the boys and girls. Shut your fucking mouth, Carmen!
Just a little thing where he says, she's a bitch to all the boys and girls. It's just so funny.
Yeah, that song has one of the phrases that I still use to describe something that is like really over the top. I call it, it's King Kong Mega Mega.
Oh, I thought it was a King Kamehameha. Like a Hawaiian thing. Wait, so it's really King Kong Mega Mega?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was all Hawaiian for real till this moment.
You might be right. I don't know. I've always said King Kong Mega Mega. Jason's going to be the tiebreaker here with internet research.
I can totally see myself being wrong. It makes just as much sense either way, really. Unless I think he was wearing like a tiki mask, though.
Well, this website says King Kamehameha.
I think he was wearing a tiki mask and holding like torches and stuff.
On Monday she's a bitch, on Tuesday she's a bitch, and Wednesday to Saturday she's a bitch. Then on Sunday, just to be different, she's a super King Kamehameha bitch.
You're right. So I've been making an incorrect reference for 18 years.
Yes. I'm not the only one. We're in this together. Sing along.
No. I'm good, thanks.
International children, sing it.
Talk to kids around the world, it might go a little bit something like this.
Also got progressively racist.
Yeah, so the video, so there's three sets of things I've seen so far, and so far they all say King Kamehameha. So sorry Brother Drew.
That's I'm gonna keep going with King Kong Mega Mega.
No, it has, I mean, more, yeah,
has more use in my life.
It's also probably less cultural appropriation problems. Yeah, then we have What Would Brian Boitano Do? Which is really fun. Just absurdist and fun. And then we have Up There, which is the Satan song, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a power ballad.
Ah, yes. And then, well, except that one of my favorite, probably maybe the favorite and most earwormy South Park songs to me is Swiss Colony Beeflog. I can break into Swiss Colony Beeflog at any moment. Are you familiar?
No.
But it's not in this movie.
No, it's not. It's in the Christmas movie, Christmas album. I think there was like an extra long special or something on TV, but...
Yes.
I will be sliding in... No, I'm not going to say sliding in Swiss Colony Beeflog. I will be inserting the beef... No.
No.
Here's a taste.
You'll be dropping Beeflog. In. So, before we get to it, so out of all of the songs, which is your favorite?
That's hard to say, because they're for different reasons.
Well, which one do you find yourself singing more after watching the movie?
Uncle Fucker.
Kyle's Mom's a Bitch for me.
My favorite song is still, to this day, and Jesse and I were just, boyfriend Jesse and I were discussing this at lunch today, that I can still sing every single word of I Can Change. I love that song. It is my favorite song.
I must be strong. I must be strong. Saddam, I need to talk to you.
Hey, you better get packing, bitch. We have to go. We're running out of time.
Saddam, sometimes you can love a person very much, but still know that they aren't right for you.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You treat me like shit, Saddam. I'm leaving you. I'm going up to Earth to rule alone.
No. No, you can't do that.
I'm sorry, but I have to be strong.
Satan, please, give me another chance. I have to go to Earth.
You don't even have respect for me.
Sure I do, guy. Please, just hear me out. Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just fuck up, try as I might. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again. Yes, I can change, I can change. I know I've been a dirty little bastard. I like to kill, I like to rage. I try to save, but it's okay, cause I can change. It's not my fault that I'm so evil. It's society, society. You see, my parents were sometimes abusive, and it made a prick of me. But I can change, I can change.
What if you remain a sandy little butthole?
Hey, Satan, don't be such a twit. Mother Teresa won't have shit on me. Just watch me change. Here I go, I'm changing.
I was a little surprised about which of the songs I found funnier than I remembered. Like, I can change. It's very funny.
It is very funny. And I understand it on different levels now.
Yeah, also, Eyes of a Child. That song is hilarious.
Oh, it is so funny.
So don't give up, even when the road seems long. Just find that child inside of you. Yeah, you gotta find you. Spread your wings and fly to the brightest star. If you want, I can even get my friend Steve to detail your car for like 20 bucks. But through the eyes of a child, the world seems magical. There's a sparkle in their eyes that get to realize the darkness in their soul.
Because that's one of those ones that sneaks up on you. You think it's going to be a serious song. And it's Michael McDonald, right?
Yeah. And that's when they're like full on embracing all of the tropes of the musical.
I mean, it's hard for me to just keep saying, oh, it's great. It's great.
No, I mean, anybody who hasn't seen the movie, you need to go see it. It is an experience. Even if you're not a fan of the show, you need to watch the movie. Because even without knowing the characters, I think you would still get a lot out of it and think it was funny. If nothing alone, just for the sheer shock value of the cartoons running around such as they are in the quite little terrible universe that they create out of the just profanity and disgustingness.
Well, I mean, you've got the whole absurdity of little kids swearing, which is funny. But, you know, I can understand... I don't have this viewpoint myself, but I can understand some reviewers at the time were saying, oh, you can't just take the South Park like 30-minute episode and turn it into an 81-minute movie and, you know, hold your interest that long.
But that's not what they did.
It's with the songs and stuff all tied it together. And, oh, I hate to be right again, but I'm super. Thanks for asking. I remember that, too. So funny.
Bombs are flying, people are dying, children are crying, politicians are lying too. Cancer is killing, Texaco's spilling, the whole world's gone to hell, but how are you? I'm super, thanks for asking, all things considered I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, no, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat? I'm so sorry, Mr. Cripple, but I just can't feel too bad for you right now, because I'm feeling so insanely super that even the fact that you can't walk can bring me down.
Hey, super, thanks for asking, all things considered, he could be better, he must say.
I'm super, no, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat? These little pants with matching tie that I got at Mom. I'm super!
Here's the barracks and the trenches as well.
Stick them up!
P.K.L. says to us to tell.
Skittles!
Yes, he's super and he's proud to be there.
Okay.
Everything is super when you're, yeah! When you're gay!
What I think really sets this movie apart is like the three-dimensional fuckery that they did is because they knew they were going to make a movie that was a cartoon. They knew it was going to have lots of swearing and be rated R and be aimed at adults. And they knew that even if it was rated R and they said anywhere they could that this movie is not for children, they knew that there would still be some parents groups up in arms about a profane cartoon. So they wrote a movie about how ridiculous it is about parents groups getting upset about a profane cartoon and taking it to such an extreme that the world gets invaded by Satan and Saddam Hussein.
Exactly.
And that what saves them all is profanity.
Yeah. Yes. And it still happened. Parents groups still got upset that they
of
made
course,
a movie.
Yeah. Well, and plus, so you know, brilliant. Also people were upset about the violence, even though that was also part of their satire.
Yes.
They were talking about how you can, you know, like the whole thing about the Canadians being like, hey, you're upset about our movie making fart jokes, but you guys can show killing and death all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the most shocking moment out of this cartoon that I don't often remember until it happens is the inexplicable drop-in of Bill Gates' murder, which is just genius. Because at the time the movie came out, we all, well, I shouldn't say we all, those of us who had suffered through Windows 98 felt just about the same way.
Oh, I mean, just any time, that's the thing, the beauty of this animation is that you've got just the weird, like, you know, old, clipped out of magazine sort of pictures, photos that show up. Mm-hmm. Like, is that somebody's real sister or something that's in the Stan's house? Kyle's house? I always forget who's who. But, and then, you know, you show up with all the people in hell, including Hitler and then Gandhi. It's like,
well, there's only 1,696 people in heaven.
Exactly.
Look, that's an oddly specific
the
number.
The big picture that Satan has over his bed is of Skeet Ulrich.
Yes. Yeah, for no reason.
It's like, man, what does Skeet Ulrich and Winona Ryder do to these people?
I know. By the way, in housekeeping, I want to talk about a movie that involves Winona Ryder. But
Star Trek?
No.
Heathers?
Nope. Anyway,
Beetlejuice?
No.
Mermaids.
Negative. Moving along, people. Moving along. So, I guess we can throw in a little bit of songs like I've already done. And what more is there to say about this movie except that it's great?
I don't remember Big Gay Al's junk hanging out before watching it last night.
Well, what about Saddam? I always forget that scene is coming.
Oh no!
With the sex toys. Saddam,
yes,
that's always unforgettable. I just laugh every time. Come on, guy.
I know it's.
And the sound of a dying giraffe.
That's one of the things that stuck with me. I know I didn't screw that one up.
Me too.
Yeah, this part of me not being a very good parent is that's a fun joke just for me whenever my little children would be like asking what sounds animal makes. I would always make that sound and my wife would get mad at me.
Oh, I love jokes for
genius.
Two. Genius. If we could only make one of those toys that you flip it upside down and it makes that noise.
It probably exists.
Probably.
I gotta put that on my Christmas list.
Boo-ah. Oh, here's another thing I forgot. I forgot there was a giant disembodied clitoris in this movie.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, the whole... Yeah.
Like
the children's?
Like, as a deus ex machina.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it all remains... completely unclear because of all the, even though the foul mouthed nature of these kids, they're still little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made the most of everything. I love the fact that they just made the most of everything.
I love just how screwed up a concept the character of the mole was. That was a disturbing little kid.
God, he is the biggest bitch of them all.
Yes, exactly. And he's the only character that dies.
Well, not Kenny. Even
Kenny died.
No, well, yeah, but... And, you know, what's funny is the... I love the fact that George Clooney plays the doctor.
Zimol is similar to Marius from Les Mis.
Oh, okay.
Just how Gregory is similar to... I don't even know what this name is. E-N-J-O-R-L-A-S.
Also from Les Mis.
Les Mis. Ah. Yeah, I've never seen it, so I don't know.
So I guess the piano that accompanies Big Gay Al's I'm Super is the name, the make of piano written on it is Felcher and Sons.
Yes, yeah. I mentioned it to the boys when we were watching it. That made me laugh, so. But that may not be too much of a mainstream joke. Brooke Shields was Minnie Driver.
Oh, Minnie Driver was Brooke Shields.
Minnie Driver was Brooke Shields. Sorry.
Who was Winona Ryder?
Toddie Walters. Sorry.
Dave Foley was the Baldwins.
Brent Spiner was Conan O'Brien.
Oh yes.
Mike Judge was Kenny's goodbye voice.
Stuart Copeland of the Police was a soldier.
Exactly. And of course, it's always good to hear the voice of the late Isaac Hayes. So
yeah. Well, and okay, so did he have to... Why did he end up leaving the show? He left the show because they went over the line for him. I think yes, he's a Jehovah's of Witness.
Religion.
Right? Yeah.
Was it Jehovah's Witness or was it...
I thought it was about Scientology.
Yeah, I thought it was Scientology.
Maybe it was Scientology.
Isaac Hayes quit South Park after it satirizes Scientology.
Ah, okay.
And they killed him off.
Oh, yes.
It was... I was still watching the show at that point, and it was supremely amazing. That was a good episode.
Yeah, well, they had funny songs. I wonder what songs they've had lately. I mean, maybe have they been doing songs continuously? Listeners, send us your favorite post-Christmas, post 9/11 South Park songs. So, we'll make short work of this fun movie, I think. Brother Jay, do you have any more trivia or things to add?
Another great quippy line from this. There's tons of good quippy lines in this, but when they're lining up the armies, and Chef asks, "Have you ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation?" And the general says, "No, I don't listen to hip hop." It's like the most painfully white thing ever. But
well, is it Operation Human Shield?
Yes.
There is just so many layers of genius that it really baffles me that it ever got made and made it past in many ways, made it past just kind of the collective current of craziness at the time the movie came out. It amazes me that it withstood and endured, although it kind of reinvigorates the spirit to think that, poking the fun at the very absurdity of Hollywood itself is what made the movie so Hollywood.
It's what Seth MacFarlane is trying to do every single day of his life.
Well, and he's another good example of genius in action. Because Family Guy is still goddamn hilarious.
Oh, Family Guy is funny, and it's got music too. I mean, again, mm-hmm. he's a... Yeah, so it's
and all... Seth MacFarlane's been calling out bad behavior of serial abusers for years and years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he has a charisma problem.
Well, yeah. That's a charitable way. He's Mr. Punchable Face, too.
Yeah, I think Trey Parker and Matt Stone come across a lot better when they're sort of out of character.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is also those guys, they're known for saying things like, oh, we hate conservatives, but we fucking hate liberals. Like, they bemoan the fact that you're not allowed to be a moderate anymore. you have to pick an extreme side. They're like, nope, we refuse to pick an extreme side. Which is good. More of us should think that way. So, Brother Jay, your verdict?
This is an A-plus movie. And it's something that is infinitely rewatchable, at least for me. And again, the movie's great. The music is great. Just the content is great. As I said, even still, I get pieces that I hadn't realized before. And looking at it now, in my years of wisdom, I'll use that term charitably, I realize more parts of the movie, or perhaps I'm able to look at it in a different view. And in some ways, it makes it even funnier because I actually get the jokes better now. Which is really a testament to how genius it really is. And, you know, Team America is also a genius movie, but this is by far better.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
Absolutely. This movie is worth it. It's short, so you can fit it in. You can work this movie in, no problem. We haven't spent too much time talking about it, but it's because it's hard to describe. We're not Kuboing this movie. We are in fact celebrating this movie. It's just it needs to be experienced to really understand it. It's a musical. I'm sure you're going to fill a lot of the time with some of the music from the movie, which is all great. Yeah, the story is really simple, but it is brilliant what they did and when they did it. It's really funny. It's hard to talk about without just going through each joke line by line, but it is so layered. There's so much stuff. Effective callbacks to the inside jokes of the television show. So it rewards the people who are familiar with the show, but it's not necessary to get the humor. So this is a great movie.
Yeah, agreed. I think this is most definitely should be on the top of our lists of just brilliant, fun, holds up, rewatchable, easy to recommend, well, to a certain audience. I thank you for putting it on the calendar and letting us enjoy it. I dug it. If we missed anything, guys, send us an email to show@drcreepyway.com.
Now, does Dougie dig it?
Good question, Dougie. Do you dig it? I can't hear you.
He might have already fallen asleep.
Wake up, Dougie.
That is so creepy. Every time I hear that when I re-listen, it freaks me out.
Connie, wake up. Dougie, wake up.
Good times.
Mom, earthquake.
Oh, you're a bastard.
Oh, that's
genius, though.
We'd tell Dad to wake up, but he's already awake. He can't get back to sleep.
Wow.
But before the last cousin slept over, Journey was telling Grandpa, we're going to spend the night, and we're going to snore all night long. That's my child.
Does it really matter if you already have one snorer in the house? Does it matter if you add more?
Well, yeah, because the tones build.
Get like some harmonic resonance going.
Well, yeah, it won't change the fact that you're awake, but the sheer absurdity of four people snoring at the same time and not waking each other up.
I thought I was going to die. Our dear mother and I didn't sleep, I think, hardly at all between the three of them last Christmas.
Well, it's a snory time of the year, too, and they're all hopped up on sugar.
After about 2 hours of Emma, just like...
She's the worst.
I just started reading from the Kindle app on my iPhone because there was no sleep to be had.
Poor Emma's got to wake up with the sleep mask on. The CPAP. Yeah, too funny. So, housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
You were going to talk about Girl Interrupted.
Nice try. I talk about the talk about the documentary called Author, the J.T. Leroy story. Are you familiar with J.T. Leroy?
Nope.
So J.T. Leroy was a 17-year-old boy who was he was a writer. He wrote stories about his mom, who was a lot lizard, like truck stop prostitute, and he was sexually abused and
addicted to drugs, right?
Kind of.
J.T. Leroy is a 21-year-old writer with two books of fiction based on his experiences as the son of a truck stop prostitute.
Hi, I'm J.T. Jeremiah Terminator Leroy.
There's not a lot of discovery in publishing. William Burroughs, Genet, Allen Ginsberg. To hear a new voice was exciting.
He doesn't like to show his face to the press.
J.T., I just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Some people think that J.T. Leroy might not really exist.
My name's Laura Albert, and I am the writer, J.T. Leroy. I felt like a misfit. I didn't want to write as myself. J.T. Leroy was created from my dream. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy, turning tricks, living on the street. The books were taking off. J.T. had to walk amongst us. Savannah was over at my house. And I said, you look like J.T. Leroy. You wear the sunglasses, a blonde wig. It was like Frankenstein, let there be life.
J.T. Leroy is a literary it boy.
Your stories are so alive.
It was a revolving door of celebrities.
You see Bono giving J.T. industry advice. Suddenly, J.T. is the go-to person for the fashion world.
I showed just enough to make them interested.
The media was tugging pretty hard at the curtain.
It turns out he may not be a he and may not even exist.
People are calling me. I don't know if this thing is bad or not.
What the heck is going on?
Hey, I really need to talk to you.
I didn't know how to shut it down.
There's a helicopter around me. You feel like good fellas.
It feels like the whole world is watching.
We're not filming now, right?
Suddenly, I got a call.
This is Warren St. John from the New York Times.
He says, I'm gonna get you. He knows everything. There is a huge tornado that's about to hit. All the headlines are saying the biggest literary hoax of our time. It is not a hoax.
This is what the movie was about, is that J.T. Leroy was actually the invention of this performance artist who also is like actually crazy. Like, she was calling up suicide hotlines for teens as this character. And then she made up like another character. And it kind of was one of these things that kind of, and I don't know, the movie is from the point of view or is narrated by the lady that wrote all the J.T. Leroy stuff. And you get to hear actual audio tapes, because she recorded audio tapes of all these telephone calls she had with these hotlines. And then later she got, like, one of the therapists told her to write down the stories, and then I don't know whether he set her up with or something, got a literary agent. And then her husband's sister, so her sister-in-law, got her to dress up kind of androgynous and become the public face of J.T. Leroy. And along the way, this is where Winona Ryder comes in. Along the way, there are lots of celebrities who get kind of sucked into this. because Asia Argento, who I think is now dating Anthony Bourdain, right? But she is also the daughter of Dario Argento, the famous Italian horror director. She wanted the rights to the book. In fact, one of the books is The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. And she actually, Asia Argento actually in the movie plays JT's mom, the prostitute. And it's all very arty and stuff. But there's a lot of blurring, like reality and fiction. And it's a very interesting documentary. Billy Corrigan plays a big role in it. It's very strange.
Not a selling point.
No. He doesn't appear. You just hear him on audio tapes because he becomes part of this actual story. And then it became a kind of a big deal when it was turned out to be something of a fraud. But not like I don't know. The whole thing is weird. The whole thing is such a strange thing because they actually ended up trying to, or maybe successfully, suing the author for signing a check as JT Leroy or something. They like tried to get her on like actual like forgery or perjury or whatever. I guess it would be forgery charges. And then that whole brings up the whole thing about whether an author is allowed to use a pseudonym, because like George Orwell, right? And lots of other people use pseudonyms when they did their art. So
Richard Bachman.
Yeah, exactly. Richard Bachman. Yeah. So that's the thing, is like who is being deceived and how, and it's all very interesting. So I would recommend the documentary Author, the JT Leroy story. I thought it was going to be one thing and it turned out to be something slightly different, but not in a gotcha Dear Zachary way. So.
That movie.
Still haven't seen it.
And don't. Because of a certain news narrative going on right now, I'm sort of fascinated with Watergate. So I just got Frost Nixon. I'm going to rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Slate has a podcast now called Slow Burn that starts picking up these weird Watergate figures that are kind of not remembered. Because, you know, nobody knew what Watergate was going to be until it turned out, you know, till it ended. Like, they, you know, at first it was like this third-rate burglary, right? And then there was, like, shenanigans with money. And then there was cover-ups. And it was all, you know. And then there's a question of Frost Nixon, of course, is whether, which is still a question today, is the president above the law? Like, if the president is the top law enforcement officer in the nation, you know, is the president above the law. And of course, we don't live in a kingdom, so the president shouldn't be above the law. But anyway, it's things
he's
like that.
But he's not the top law enforcement officer.
Well, I mean, he's the chief executive, and the Justice Department runs under the executive branch. So there's that. But yeah, no, I mean, it's again, Richard Nixon didn't have to find out because he resigned. But the whole thing of the Frost Nixon interviews was they got him to say on tape, look, it's not against the law because the president did it. The president can't break the law. The president is the law. No, it turns out he's not. Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. But for some reason, I'm kind of taking the deep dive on Watergate. And I don't know whether we're watching what is the first part of a bigger story that's going to be like Watergate, or this will all kind of fizzle out. Because one of the things that led to the resignation of Nixon is that his own party turned against him. And that's not happening now.
Well, the thing is, though, that if things progress to the level politically as they cautiously, seemingly, are ending right now, the Republicans will not stay in control. And if the Democrats get control, it'd be much easier to have impeachment proceedings. So
true, except that the Democrats are not known for their,
the Democrats are professional losers.
Yeah. They're not known for strategic strikes and
afraid of winning.
Well, and also they're not really organized.
That too.
So, yeah, this is not a political podcast. We will move on, but I'll let you know whether Frost Nixon's worth watching. I saw it in the theater with our grandmother.
Frost Nixon is, I saw the play.
Oh.
Then I saw the movie later. I saw the play in Portland. I can't even remember where I saw it. I think it was at the Armory, but it was amazing. So the movie was good. I haven't seen the actual movie Nixon, which I think I need to. So
the Anthony Hopkins one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be worth watching. I mean, I know I've seen it. I just had to spend a while.
Because we've reviewed on the podcast All the President's Men, which is one of my top tens. It's an awesomely amazing movie, and I just love to watch it, even still.
Yeah, it may be worth a rewatch for me too.
Even going into it, where the movie starts, you know what's going to happen, so.
Well, that's the thing. That story is a weird story. It has so many weird little parts to it.
It makes you wonder if it happens today, would it have been found out in the same way? And would anyone care?
Yeah,
that's what we're kind of...
That's the really important question is,
yeah,
do people care enough for it to be a story that has legs?
Yeah. Well, also... Yep. Are there statesmen who will stand up? I mean, I think right now there are plenty of Robert Borks out there who will just do what they're told. It's weird. And especially now with all the ability to just say fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news about everything, makes it easier for people to just shut off. And it's like, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to, you know, it's not worth thinking about. Everything's fake. Everything's broken. Everything's bullshit. That shouldn't be the case either. And sorry, Al Franken, you had to go.
Yeah.
Yep. John Conyers definitely had to go. Al Franken, gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Bryan Singer, you gotta go. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein. Bryan Singer, you probably have to go to jail, actually, as it turns out. But, allegedly. So, and also, what do you think about Taylor Swift on the cover of Time magazine? Because it's funny because she actually is a really good example of going against like the trolls, right? Because she sued that guy for $1, which is a fucking boss move. But she has been conspicuously quiet on the other Me Too kind of things. So I thought it was fascinating that she was on the cover next to people like Ashley Judd, who have been less reticent and have had more political or career damage done by being outspoken. I take it from your silence. We're not in a topic that's fun to talk about. So any other housekeeping do we have?
Sorry, I just don't have very many thoughts about Taylor Swift.
No, I know. You know,
yeah.
Okay. Just to let you know, they told me that I was going to be on the cover of Time magazine for Man of the Year, but I was like, no, I can't work in my interviews and stuff. I just don't have time to sit down and take photos and things. So I politely decline.
I think that's the right move.
Yeah, it is. It just seems the wrong time.
Besides, you probably have a Time magazine with your photo on it in your house already. Photoshopped.
I have a couple.
Yeah.
Also, I name my houses because I'm a douchebag. Anyway.
Yes, but some of your houses are having the names removed now because the houses feel bad.
No, I name my houses Sea on the Lake. What? Sea on the Lake? What some kind of bullshit is that? Oh, well. Anyway. So, housekeeping.
I took one of your podcast recommendations and branched out, tried to diversify some podcast listening.
Uh-oh.
And took a stab.
Uh-oh. The word tried leads me to believe that it was not completely successful.
I will listen to a couple more episodes and decide its final fate in my listening library. But I've been listening to the Doughboys.
Don't they sound like they hate each other?
No, it sounds shticky to me.
Oh, it's totally shticky.
Also, one of the guys uses way too much profanity, and it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
it's to me, it's not genuine.
They're playing for company.
I have no idea. You know, when I drop profanity, I do it because it's a legitimate emotion. I'm not swearing to swear. Listening to them, the one guy just swears to swear, and it's ridiculous. And his fake rage is also evident. So, I have a hard time because it seems to be not genuine, and that bothers me. I have a hard time listening to that. So,
okay, that's fair enough. Yeah,
I don't know. So I may listen to a couple more episodes. I started with the Chick-fil-A episode, so
yeah,
I don't know what's next.
Is that so John that's what Hodgman? I was listening to.
No. I want to say Noel, somebody or somebody Noel.
Yeah, okay. John Hodgman was something else. Hello.
He may have been a Chick-fil-A because I know that they revisited it. So there may be multiple Chick-fil-A episodes, no, perhaps.
I want to say, anyway. Yeah.
But I have also not ever eaten a Chick-fil-A and don't plan to in my lifetime. So.
I when I was in Atlanta, I ate a Chick-fil-A. It was just fine. Thank you. It's great. It's good stuff. I mean, it's fast food chicken, you know, a chicken sandwich.
Let's see what else is going on.
Any other podcasts? Jackie and Lori? Have you tried the Jackie and Lori show? I think that's...
No. No, because... I've been lost in some nostalgia and been listening to the, like, 4.5 years of podcasts I have from the old radio show I used to listen to every day. Because it goes back to a happier time when Obama was trying to get to beat Hillary in the primary. So that's where I'm listening right now. So kind of living back in the past a little bit. Plus, I have the West Wing weekly podcast, which I listen to.
Have I already mentioned Raised by TV?
Nope. I'm not sure.
Oh, you gotta listen to Raised by TV, any of the episodes that are out now. It's John Gabris and, I'm not going to forget her name. But Raised by TV, it is so good. Lauren Lapkus, I think. And what's funny about it hits all of those nostalgia buttons, and they're so excited when they're talking about it. They talk like a mile a minute. And it's pretty funny. So any of the episodes that are available, Raised by TV. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay. No, otherwise, what else is going on? It's freezing cold here. It's 36 degrees, high winds, clear skies. 'Tis the season. And tomorrow morning is my lovely pulmonary function test, followed tomorrow night with an MRI. So I've reached that stage in adulthood where my days are entirely taken up by medical procedures.
So you got to run on a treadmill? Or do you just have to, like, blow into a tube really hard till you think you're going to pass out?
All of the above. There will be... It's called a methacholine challenge, which methacholine is basically synthesized histamine. So they pump my lungs full of histamine so that my lungs have basically what would amount to an asthmatic reaction if it will have an asthmatic reaction. So if I am asthmatic, it will induce an asthma attack. So
that seems sort of dangerous.
Well, it's controlled and they can abate it.
So then they can just pump you full of adrenaline and hope your heart doesn't explode.
No, they just use albuterol, which would negate the effects. So, which would be rescue inhaler. So that's in a nutshell, that's a real simplification of what's going to happen. But, that's what's going to happen tomorrow morning. It's going to take 3 hours. They tell me. And then tomorrow night it's MRI time. So, but I'm ready for Christmas. So.
Excellent. Well, good luck to you.
Trees up, trees decorated, lights are up, presents are wrapped. The presents are at your parents' house. I'm done.
Sweet. Jason, did you have some Amazon drama you wanted to share with us?
Oh yeah. Oh, you had some Facebook drama too, I think.
Yeah. I was telling Brother Drew earlier about the Facebook drama. The Amazon drama is just ridiculous. So I do not understand what has gone wrong with Amazon lately. There have been a couple instances in the last few weeks, and I'm an Amazon Prime member, and I am happily an Amazon Prime member, being that I live in Oregon and there's a hub nearby. There's lots of things available for two-day shipping that fall into my Prime area. And generally, for the last 5 years plus that I've been a Prime member, never had any issues with Prime. Occasionally, I've had things stolen off my porch. Occasionally, things get misdelivered and show up randomly from my neighbors who discover that, oh, indeed, it's not addressed to them either in name or by address, and didn't notice it for a week. So I had subscribed to Amazon Key Service, which has worked.
Oh, so you got it done?
Yeah. I got it done. The lock's been up, and it's actually kind of a sweet deal.
You know, when we sent you your Christmas package, they sent us a picture via text when it was delivered.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was weird. I pulled it up. I was like, that doesn't look like my door. Oh, it's not.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't know they did that, but that's fine. So I had ordered an item. Oh, I had ordered Friday morning when I was on Amazon. I saw that there was a South Park Blu-ray DVD for $7 Prime. And because I live in an area where the U.S. Postal Service delivers on Sunday, had it shipped Friday before the cutoff time of 10 a.m., which it was ordered before 10 a.m., it would have been delivered Sunday evening at my house by 8 p.m., as promised by the Prime agreement and the two-day delivery. So I made my purchase on Friday morning. And then Saturday, we had ordered, we'd run out of these Simple Human garbage bags that we use for our Simple Human garbage cans. And Amazon sells them cheaper than anywhere else. And I actually have an Amazon Dash button that you just push the button and it goes right into your shopping cart. And then you can say, yep, nope, that's good to go. So I actually gave Jesse the button. I'm like, here, you get to push it, because, you know, it doesn't happen very often. So push the button Saturday, order goes in my cart. It says it'll get delivered Monday. Sunday rolls along. 8 o'clock goes by and no delivery. So I call the service center and I said, this is now the third time in probably just about as many weeks where you have promised to deliver something and been completely unable to deliver it. So what is the problem? If you're unable to deliver it in a two-day time frame, you should be saying that you're going to be unable to deliver it, because you're basically telling me that there's a service available that I'm paying for that I'm not able to get. To me, that's pretty much a breach of the agreement of the contract. The whole point of having a Prime membership is two-day delivery. Otherwise, there'd be no point in having it. So back and forth, and they still weren't sure what happened. And finally they said, well, we'll extend you another month of Amazon service. And I said, I don't understand. It makes no sense for you to extend me a month of service that you're not able to deliver now. I don't want another month of something I'm clearly not able to use.
Oh.
So I demanded a refund of the item. And they finally did that. Monday morning, my garbage bags show up, which were ordered on Saturday. And my DVD did not show up on Monday. So Tuesday, the DVD finally shows up and is delivered, which is twice as long as it should have. And it was ordered before something that I had delivered on Monday, and no one can explain to me what's going on. So pretty frustrated with Amazon, and their customer service is pretty worthless, because, you know, they have certain set. It's a very rigid, structured process. I'm sure it's very scripted. But there is nobody, it is very difficult to get a live body, and it's even more difficult to determine who is higher that I need to complain to and get answers from. And so far, I have no one has given me an answer or a legitimate apology. They apologize, but it's not a legitimate apology because they don't even know what they're apologizing for. And they'll blame the delivery people, but I can't believe that the delivery people are truly just being delinquent with their deliveries, because that's what they do for a living. So I'm beginning to believe it is some kind of logistics problem at Amazon, which they need to work out, because I'm going to be pretty vocal about it if it continues, and I will use any platform I have to badmouth them.
Take all the free months you can get, though.
I already have gotten 3 extra months. That's the thing. At this point, I've got 3 more months, but it doesn't do me any good to have a month more of service if they're not able to give me the service. So yeah. So anyway, now and then in other news, it was the whole Facebook jail thing. And I was telling Brother Drew about that earlier, but
somebody complained about a post that you did being inappropriate.
Not just one post, it was multiple posts.
Really?
There were several. Yeah.
By the same person, yeah. Or you can't tell?
I don't know. Don't know. But it would have been somebody, it is somebody, in my friends list, because only my friends have access to see my posts.
Huh.
So, that's why, whoever you are, if you're listening, unfriend me now. Because you're going to get found out sooner or later, and it would be really satisfying for me to block you. But I don't think you want that wrath upon you. And I was actually discussing. I made a couple posts, and apparently they were either offended by them or felt they were in poor taste or whatever. They reported them as abusive or not following the community guideline standards of Facebook. But the only way they could get the post justified to be pulled is reporting it. The reason it was violating the terms is that it contained nudity, which it did not. So they falsely reported the error just to get it off by using a lie. I got a warning from Facebook, and they kind of put me in jail for a couple days. And then they sent me this notice that the post had been removed, and if I felt that the post were removed in error, I could click a link and then they would have somebody review it and blah, 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 blah. So that's what's happened.
So they took down your post?
Yes. Yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah. They edited my post by removing it.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Yeah. So that's a bit of censorship right there. It was one of them was something that was reposted from many other sites. So, and it didn't contain nudity. It was a goddamn cartoon. Another post was just something else I had posted. So somebody clearly lacks the ability to debate in a meaningful fashion as an adult.
You pissed off somebody unrelated, and they just decided to drunk flag you in Facebook?
I don't know. Since they didn't come and talk to me about it, and they didn't have, they didn't have the balls to come and say, hey, this is kind of insensitive or rude or disgusting or whatever. They didn't even engage in that conversation, which makes me just not respect them. So whoever you are, I don't respect you.
Stop flagging Jason's post. Beep. Sore subject. So, Drew, any housekeeping?
No. I'm a little punchy. Haven't got much sleep. Got sick kids. It's no good.
Yeah, that was last week for me. This week's a little better. Although they're snoring because it's a stuffy time.
Yeah.
There's some kind of stomach bug that's going around the area here. I've had a whole bunch of employees out, so I've been telling everybody that they should use the hand sanitizer and the sanitary wipes on every surface, and if they want to gargle the hand sanitizer, they go ahead and do that too.
It sounds like bad medical advice to gargle hand sanitizer, but... Well, I wish you all good health. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com. or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts, dial it already.